Michael Arndt, and what we're going to be talking about and doing tonight is improvisation and role playing. There's always a fear at presenting a topic like this, because first of all, are you going to just attract all type A personalities, or are... Yes?
Do you have those for healing your ears?
Oh, yes. If you go in the first door to the right, I think he's probably hearing me right now. Okay. And he should be bringing them out. The whole idea of improvisation is something that has probably been most associated with improvisational theater companies, especially the major comedy improvisational theater companies like Second City, those of you from Minneapolis and St. Paul area, the Dudley Riggs Brave New Workshop, and Los Angeles, the Groundlings theater company, and a number of others. Okay. What is this? I'll just put it right here and make my sweater bulge up. Okay. Tonight is kind of an introduction to the world of improvisation, and a little bit of talking about improvisation in terms of how it can apply to non-theatrical presentations and how it can apply to what you do in your everyday life. And then we're going to do some very simple, non-threatening kind of improv exercises. And I'm going to be continuing doing other improv sessions throughout next week. We don't know exactly when they're going to be scheduled, but we're interested in doing that. We're interested in forming a small improvisational company next week for anybody that's interested, guests or staff members or so forth. First of all, how many people here have done any improvisation before? How many people have never done any improvisation before? You're all liars. Everybody does improvisation every single minute in every conversation they have during the day. Improvisation in its simplest form means that you make do. You create on the spot. How many of you have ever been questioned about something that you did wrong when you were a child and immediately had to come up with the best excuse you could imagine? We've all done it. Or worked at a particular job and had to come up with as good an explanation as possible. Improvisation really does apply. Every day in our lives, we're in the process of playing many, many roles during our particular day. Here at Holden, some people in this room have spent the day working at various jobs at Holden in which they are a waitry or a maverick or a cook or a dishwasher, like I was this morning. Believe me, blueberries burned on the bottom of a pot is the worst kind of cleaning job you can have. We've all done that. We've also been parents, sons or daughters, friends. We are now in a class, so technically my role is that of lecturer or guest speaker or teacher or implementer or whatever the title is, and your job is your role is participant or someone catching some sleep that they missed out on today or whatever the role is. But we constantly shift back and forth from role to role to role. And when we really aren't aware of those shifts, sometimes we're really not sensitive to what other people are saying to us verbally or non-verbally. And as a result, our ability to respond to these other people sometimes is limited because we haven't developed the techniques of improvisation. And one of the most important techniques of improvisation is the ability to put yourself in the role of another person, or to see yourself as the other person, as you're talking to the other person, as you're involved with the other person in a relationship or whatever. So hopefully what we're going to do tonight is begin to enable those of you that have never done formal improvisation, as some of you have indicated, to have a little bit of a sense of how to go about that. But the first thing that we have to do is to tap your own creative powers, your own imagination. I love watching the Narnia kids, because one of the beauties of the Narnia kids is they have the ability to create worlds all over the place and keep those worlds happening. And they believe them totally. If you've ever watched a kid under the age of 7 or 8 play, there's no end to the kinds of imaginative responses they have to any particular situation. But somehow what happens to us in this society is that as we go through the years in school, those abilities get tamped down and covered over with all kinds of other things that we do to keep on living in our normal lives. And we sometimes lose the ability to imagine and to create. Now, one of the real keys to improvisation is the ability to create something out of nothing. So we're going to begin tonight with an exercise. And the first thing I want you to imagine is that that board is absolutely blank. Pretend you can't see all the magic marker that exists on that board. Okay? Everybody see that it's blank. Now imagine that that board is a canvas. Okay? A painting canvas. Do we have any artists here? Painters here. Okay, we've got a few painters here. Good, they'll help. What we are going to do is paint a picture on this canvas, and we're all going to do that. We're all going to paint this picture on the canvas, but we're going to do it in our imaginations, and we're going to do it verbally. Now, for the next couple of minutes, what I want you to do is concentrate on this blank canvas as we do this. Now, I'm going to turn to the artists first, because they have a better sense of where we start with the picture. But before we do that, I think we should have a title for the picture. Let's come up with a title first, and then we'll paint the picture after. I know you're supposed to do it in reverse, but for the sake of argument tonight, let's come up with the title first. Anybody got a suggestion for a title? A topic, if not a title.
Holden, I think.
Okay, Holden, let's be more a little
landscape,
bit more specific.
Landscape.
Sunset.
Holden, sunset, set, landscape. Okay.
With gremlins.
With gremlins, okay. Holden, landscape at sunset with gremlins, okay? That's the title of the picture. Okay. Here we go. Any of the artists want to contribute the first brush stroke? And what I want you to do as we go through this is to describe one particular feature on this painting and try to describe where that feature is located on the painting. Okay? Can everybody see the canvas? Keep your eyes glued, because it's going to grow. And then as we add elements to the canvas, keep track of them and keep that sense of growth as it happens. Okay, who wants to lead off?
The loading dock.
Okay, now, as all good painters know, try to make sure that you don't necessarily, you don't have to worry about recreating something that we all know, but describe something. It may be the loading dock, but it may not look like a loading dock that any of us know. So where would you place this loading dock and describe it for us and where it's located in that surface?
To the left side, the loading dock would come out planked with pillars to support it. And
describe colors.
Browns, blacks, a lot of pitch on the posts that support it, rocks underneath the loading dock.
Okay, and you place this where in this photograph?
To the right.
To the left
side. Excuse me, to the left.
To the left side.
This right.
Okay. To the left side. Somewhere about in the center, I'll help place this first one.
Yeah.
Like right about...
That lower. Right there.
Yeah. Okay. We'll use that as our frame of reference. We have a loading dock, planks, pitch... Browns, grays, rocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got the road is flooded, and it's probably right after the winter rains, and there's this little very strange gremlin underneath the loading dock, and he's
okay.
Crouched up.
Where? Again, describe it specifically.
Exactly, but the loading dock is meeting the bank just like this, and he's right here. He's not in the water. The water's a little farther down. Okay.
Good. Let's try to describe it and try to keep everybody's focus. And this is hard because we don't communicate with our words in this way. But try to describe it where it is. Now we've got the loading dock located right about here. So tell me just in terms left or right of that, underneath, and describe what you...
Well, it's underneath the loading dock, and it's right, he's standing on the ground, but it's right where the loading dock meets the ground. But he's not quite in the water. What he's doing is he's waiting to steal the luggage that comes that is being put on the loading dock.
How is that?
He's very big knees.
He has very big knees and he's crouched. What does he look like? Describe him a little bit more.
He's got a really big nose, and he's very hairy, and he's got gigantic.
I think you're describing me. No, wait a minute. Okay.
Gigantic knees that stick up around his ears. His ears are pointed, and then he's got gigantic knees that come up. When he's crouched down like this, his knees come up above his head.
How big is he compared to the loading dock?
Oh, well, he's about, if he stood up, he would be about 3.5 or 4 feet tall.
Which side of the loading dock?
No, he's not at the side. He's underneath the loading
underneath
dock.
Underneath it, directly.
And he's crouched right where
what,
it meets
what
the
color?
Ground.
What color is he?
Is the gremlin?
Yes.
He's sort of a reddish color.
Okay, sort of a reddish color. Okay.
Sort of reddish brown.
Okay, we've got a lot more painting to do. Next. Yes, Amy.
Top right corner area, and also kind of covers a bit along the top, some very streaked salmon-colored clouds, and some sunlight rays kind of shining just above some rocky peaks.
Okay, what color do you see the rocky peaks?
Very light at the top and slowly kind of getting dark.
Okay.
As they get down.
Okay, everybody keep concentrating on the photo. Upper right hand corner, she said. Okay, next. Somebody next. Keep focused on the canvas. Anybody? We've got a lot of blank canvas here. Yes.
You need some tall, stately trees.
Some tall, stately trees. Where are those?
They're on the right-hand side.
Right-hand side.
Her sunset is coming through the trees.
Her sunset's coming through the trees. Okay. What color are the trees?
Oh, green.
Okay.
Several shades of green.
Several shades of green on the right. Okay. Somebody else.
She mentioned that the road was flooded a bit after the rains or the snow was melted. It isn't flooded a great deal, but the road is pretty much flooded, and it's winding around first to the left and then a little bit to the right.
Where does it start out?
By the loading dock.
Right by the loading dock.
And it goes a little bit to the right, and then to the left again.
That's right.
It's turning. Right.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Okay.
And but there's patches of water in the grass along the side because of the rain and the storms.
Okay.
A big patch to the left-hand side beyond the loading dock.
Okay.
The grass is not described yet.
Okay. The grass is not described yet.
Right at the bottom, right about two-thirds of the way to the right, just barely seen as a deer behind. And he's licking the road, but we're so close that all you can see is just the back and his white tail with the little black dot at the bottom and some brown haunch on either side. And he's licking the road in front of us, but our frame of reference is right up against him, so can't see very much.
Okay, good. Somebody else. We're still got a long way to go yet.
In one of the pine trees is a kid about two-thirds of the way up.
Which pine tree?
Climbing.
How?
Which pine tree?
Pine tree towards center or towards the edge?
The one that's the second from the left.
Okay. Okay. Everybody get that?
They're where to begin with.
Okay. That's okay.
We have pine trees over on the left? No, they're on the right.
They're on the right, but it's the second one from the left of the pine trees.
So that's the in the middle? In the middle? No. Pardon?
Or toward
a child.
Well, one of the Narnia kids is climbing up of it.
Oh, a child kid.
What is the kid wearing?
He's wearing a red blazer. It's a red coat.
Okay.
So
okay.
On the right side of the road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, next.
Oh, there's a gremlin beneath the kid climbing up after him.
No, you can only add one thing. One element at a time. Okay. Next, somebody else. Go ahead.
Well, since we've only got trees on one side, there must be a big log building on this side behind the loading dock with a tin roof and brown beneath it, and it's covering the whole left side above the loading dock.
Okay, the whole left side, so it's really dominating the picture on the left side. Okay? Anybody else?
Well, the road actually kind of hits the horizon about a little bit above halfway on the... on the picture, and right there you can see the bus coming through the trees. There's the tree with the kid, there's one tree, and then there's the bus, and then there's a couple more trees on the other side of the bus.
Okay, what's the number on the bus?
That's 062 across the top.
Okay.
The radiator covers are closed, so it won't get too cold on the engine.
Okay, next. Anybody else? Yes.
In the big building, there's a few windows, and one of the windows is propped open just a little bit, and there's you can kind of see curtains flying out of that just barely as it's open, and there's a hand grasping the windowsill on the outside, and it's one of the gremlins, a very small child gremlin. And trying to get inside that building.
What color are the curtains?
Curtains are red, checkered.
Okay. Somebody else. Still got some blank spots on it.
There are window boxes with geraniums all around the log building.
Okay. Window boxes with red geraniums all around the log building. Are they constant block window boxes, or are there breaks in between the window
there are
boxes?
Breaks. And they match the red checker curtain.
Okay. Somebody else.
On the loading dock, there's a green duffel bag. It's sunset, so now all the people are come and they've picked up all their luggage, and this one has been left abandoned, and it's stuffed with something. It looks important, but for some reason it hasn't been picked up. It's got white straps.
Okay. Somebody else? Yes?
Underneath the loading dock, near the gremlin, are several pieces of luggage. There's only one that is open, and there's like almost flowery colored boxer shorts strewn around it.
What color are the flowers on the boxer shorts?
A lot of white and yellow. It's got a daisy leg.
Okay.
Boxer shorts.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, the posts that are supporting the dock are actually sprouting, and there are branches growing out with green leaves on them.
We get a real science fiction book here.
Okay, keep going. Anybody else?
I actually thought it looked like there was a fire inside of the building, just a dull fire burning. There was no flames, but it seemed like there was a strange glowing coming out of it that sort of matched the color of the sky.
Sort of that salmon-colored clouds. Okay, yes.
I do see a gremlin over on the right-hand side, opposite from the first gremlin who's hiding underneath the loading dock, and he's in a kind of small boat, and he's got a fishing line, and he's got one end attached to those daisy boxer shorts, and he's carrying them off. You know, he's snitching with the fishing line.
Is he on the road?
He's in a little boat on the right, lower right-hand side.
Past the deer, or by the deer?
The boat is sitting in one of the puddles.
He's, you know, on the water that's in the...
In the road?
Below the loading dock.
Okay.
So he's a little bit to the left of the deer.
Does
the
he
deer
look
is sort of observing all this with alarm.
Does he look like the other... Gremlins?
Basically, I mean, he's dressed a little bit different. He's got a sort of a large tam o' shanter on his head and a plaid shirt.
Okay.
He's got some lutefisk on the back of it.
At first, I wasn't sure if I looked more closely, and in the lower left hand window of the building, there's a gremlin with his face up against the window making faces, with his face all smudged out.
You can hardly see it at first. Sure. Yeah.
We have mentioned that there is a horizon with a sunset.
Well, we have the mountains. The mountains are there.
Light color. We need some more mountains, and we also need some more thunderheads up there in that blue sky.
Where specific?
Up in the sky.
Where in the sky?
Up at the top.
To the right, a little bit by those clouds, or a little bit more to the center.
It's going to be all across the top.
Well, we've got this big building, I think, over the left, but maybe a little bit of peeking over.
Well, it'll be above.
Okay. And thunderheads.
Thunderheads are beautiful.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
There's a rip right there, about a quarter of the way across the top, about 2 inches long. You can see some paint stained board in there.
Okay. Okay. How many people can see that picture? And not only did we create a picture, but we created what? Created a story, too. It's a natural instinct to begin building a situation based upon facts that we create out of nothing. In other words, that's how any writer, any painter, any poet, anybody starts taking ideas. And we never know where those ideas come from. They may be suggested by Holden. They may be suggested by a sunset. They may be suggested by something you read. They may be suggested by how you've lived or how you feel. And from those ideas come elements of creativity that then begin to try to organize themselves into some kind of logical base, which is improvisation. And we always try to hang on to that believable logical base. We've just done it visually. I want to do the same kind of thing very quickly. And some of you have done this maybe at parties or have done this before. But first of all, I'd like everybody to try to get in one circle with your chair, please. If you can get, just bring them in one circle.
Move those out.
This is another exercise that's very good for improvisation, and it's again building something out of nothing, and we're all going to contribute. This exercise is called Story, and it works simply like this. We will pick a topic again that we're going to build a story about. I will start the story, And by the time we, what's your name, sir?
John.
By the time we get to John, the story will be completed. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop maybe in the middle of a sentence or whatever, and I'm going to clap my hands, and then you're going to continue the story on where I left off, and you'll keep going until I clap my hands, and the next person will have to pick that story up right where this gentleman left off, and so on as we go around the circle. And we need to be ready because we're going to finish the story by the time we get back here with John, so I can say the end. Okay? So that's the struggle here, but we're going to create the story out of nothing. Again, somebody give me a topic.
Bugs.
Bugs.
Gremlins and bugs.
And love.
I remember the first time I was hiking up to Image Lake. It was mid-July, about noon. And as I turned to
west, all I saw in the trees were ladybugs, hundreds of thousands
of ladybugs with tiny dots on them. And I went to investigate closer, and they started flying.
So I tried to catch a few of them to really look at them closely, and I caught one, and
and I was looking at it, and it was really, really neat. But then my bug spray got on it, and it started to die.
And so I thought, well, what can I do? I thought about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I couldn't even find its mouth. And so I thought, well, if I can't
help it, then I'll eat it. So I ate it, and all of a sudden I looked up, and it reminded me of pizza. And so I thought, well, gosh, since I'm out in the woods now, and I really am in the mood for pizza, I think I'll
go over the next ridge to the Domino's Pizza. So I went over, and I
ordered a large ladybug pizza with extra cheese and pepperoni. And when they said,
can we get you anything else? I said, well, I'd like to try one of those fry burgers, please, if you have any more pizza.
If they were in styrofoam containers, so I just took the and as I was walking away, this loud rumbling came from over there.
And it was this. No one who came and can't walk right up to me and said,
hey, is that ladybug juice on your lips? And suddenly the ladybug
flew away. And I decided I wanted to get back in the woods. I did not like it in the city. So I decided, bugs or no bugs, I'll go back to the city again.
Well, I think I like the ladybugs better than the city, so I'm going to go with the ladybugs. I'm going to follow them around and see what happens.
And I followed them over to a centipede nest, and there were thousands of centipedes that decided to crawl up my leg, and I went into immediate shock. I gasped. I fell over. Oh my God, I was laying in worms.
I squiggled and squirmed around, and I began to slam my hands on the ground, my feet on the ground, and trying to squish them. And it reminded me of...
And then I woke up from my nightmare. But I was safe in my tent up at Lyman Lake, and...
Although safe in my tent, I still had this great feeling that I would like to get back to the ladybug. So I started going back down the trail. But it was too dark, and I couldn't find the same tree where the ladybugs were. But eventually,
I heard them singing, and they were singing in Norwegian. It was some kind of a cult song dealing with lutefisk.
And I was convinced that this must be a dream, so I slapped myself several times, but I didn't wake up.
And I saw this gorgeous man standing there, and I said, did you hear the ladybugs? And he said, yes, I did. Would you like to marry me? This is fantastic. I mean, after all I've...
There is another
washing machine. No.
Dirty clothes.
Okay, a washing machine. So what I'm going to do is, right next to this gentleman, place a washing machine, a top-loading washing machine. I'm lifting up the lid, I'm putting my laundry, and I'm not concerned about how good your mind is, putting the laundry in the washer right now, and I'm closing the lid, digging in my pocket for change, putting 75 cents into the...
Wait till that door opens.
Andy and I have been working on this all afternoon. You know, that's serendipity. And I just pushed the money and that machine is working. Now, what I want you to do is keep the logic of this room. And what we're going to do, in the same way that we did the pictures, one at a time, I want you to enter through the door the way you entered and place an object by using it somewhere in this room, and then exit the laundromat. The next person in not only has to remember what object they're creating, but where all the other objects are as well, until we can have an entire laundromat appear before our eyes. And let's again see if we can make sense of the situation and see it happening before us. Okay, who wants to lead off? There's a key here. You probably figured out. If you start early, it's easier earlier than later. Okay. And begin. And always remember to enter the same way.
It's been to the laundromat.
Okay, all you have to do is just to make sure we know what the object is that you've done. All the vending machines are against the back wall.
Jesus.
Remember the door? I'll open the door for everybody. Here, and you can go in around the table. Especially those glass doors, we never figured out. Keep running into the wall. Well, we finally have another washing machine. I was wondering. Keep remembering where everything else is. And now for Act Four. Good. Watch out with those washing machines. You just get busted, dragged up.
The door is moving this way.
Actually,
Opportunity who wanted to go. Okay, very good, very good, very good. Again, you can see the possibility. Everybody can turn back around again. Now you saw in these exercises, all the other exercises, one of the things that about improvisation and the skills that you can derive from improvisation that carries you through to other aspects of your life. How many of us have ever been a member of a committee? And the old saw about how much work a committee gets accomplished. And one of the main problems with a committee is what? As those of you who worked on committees.
Conflict among the members.
Yeah. Everybody fights a lot for their own way of solving whatever the problem is. And one of the things that's essential in improvisation, which I think is a good skill to carry to other aspects of life, is the whole process of working with a problem and building on the problem by listening and building on to what the other person gives you. What we did, we built an entire building. We created a story. We painted a picture. We didn't do it with everybody arguing for their own way. We did it by building upon other people's idea, and as a result, we created works of art. Even though those are just in our imagination. But the possibilities, I think you see, are limitless when you go beyond that. What we're going to do now is try to take that a little bit farther and show you an example of some improvisation that requires a person to immediately listen and respond to whatever the other person is doing and giving them. The whole basis of improvisation is accepting as true, as fact, what anybody says, and not questioning that. That you accept and you really listen to what they're saying. Now the focus of this exercise is such. I'm going to ask somebody to start a physical activity, and I'll demonstrate here. Anybody want to do this with me initially to get started? Okay, right there. Okay, I mean, just this time I'll do the moving. Now, this exercise works something like this. Your name?
Kate
is going to do some kind of physical activity. It can be anything. I'm going to watch her for just a few seconds, and then I'm going to say a statement to Kate, and whatever I tell you is true. And whatever you say to me is true. And what we're going to do is build on each other's ideas by listening to each other and responding to each other and see what can happen with a particular scene. So you can begin any kind of physical activity you want. As an example, digging a ditch, raking a lawn, hammering a board, anything. I need 150 more loaves of bread by 5 o'clock. Go! Keep doing them. Keep forming them and getting going. 5 o'clock. More loaves of bread. Don't stand there looking at me. You've got work to do. What did I hire you for?
So I would.
It's true. Come on. Let's go.
Okay, now. And you were my first guinea pig. Now what she was doing, you were sawing wood, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were sawing wood. I saw a different reality. And so the next step is for you to accept my reality, and that you can alter my reality if you want to. Once it gets accepted, you can take it in any way you want. But we keep going. This is, thanks for being the guinea pig. Try somebody else. Anybody else. We'll just keep trying. Okay, back there. I was kind of unfair to start out like that. It's a little complicated. Why? Because we really are literal in terms of what we are doing, right? And what we are thinking and what we want. We spend most of our lives doing that, focusing on the me. And what improvisation helps you do is also really listen to what somebody is telling you. Okay, any activity you want.
I'll help you stretch that taffy, Mom. I really like it.
Oh, I appreciate that, dear, because it's getting all over my fingers.
It's sticky.
I know.
Can I eat it now,
it's
Mom?
It's going to fall in the middle of the floor. Let it go!
Okay.
If it fell, could I lick it up? I like it.
If you like lint, you go right ahead, but it's getting
well,
kind of dirty.
Just adds a little bit more texture to it.
Well, that's true, but I don't know if we want to keep lint.
How about if I twirl it around like this?
Well, then you just got it all over your hair. Now what are we going to do?
I don't like it
We're
in my hair.
Ice.
I don't like it in my hair. Mommy, I don't like it in my
calm
hair.
Calm down, calm down. Just calm down. Now, let's go over here to the sink.
Where's?
Right here. Put your head down, and I'll get the shampoo. And we're going to have to get you all set up and get this all cleaned up.
Okay.
I got soap in my eyes.
Well, here, okay, now we'll rinse your eyes up. Here's a washcloth. Cover your eyes with the washcloth.
Okay.
Now I'm going to rinse your head.
Okay.
All the suds are going to be gone real soon.
Are you done yet?
No, here's a towel. Here's a towel. Okay, all right, you can stand up.
Okay.
All
right. No.
Okay.
Thank you. Now you can see the possibility. All of a sudden, an activity turned into a short little scene and a playlist just by accepting whatever the reality is, whatever the reality of the situation is, you accept it. Let's, we've just got a couple more minutes, let's just have two people come up. There and there. One of you start an activity and the other person respond. And again, do not ask questions. The first, whatever you say first, needs to be a statement, not a question.
Is that report done yet?
Okay, I'm gonna stop.
Has to change. We always have to change.
No, the important thing first is to always start with a statement rather than a question.
But it was a statement.
No.
No.
No, I know. The statement.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would like you to do
that I would like you to do. Amy was obviously typing. What I would like you to do is try to figure another reality that has nothing to do with what you're seeing. If you recognize what the person is doing, try to alter that reality if you can. Let's start again.
Okay.
Hey, I grew up on that too, man. That's really cool.
I do these rituals, and I feel complete because
I'm done. Do it good.
I'm LL Cool. I'm sitting in the pool. I am here Tuesday now.
Okay. Two more people. One and two. Okay. Decide
which one.
Which
one? I don't care. I don't care. Oh, listen, I tried to get taller that way for you. I stretched. It worked about as well as trying to make my nose thinner by putting a clothespin on it.
Does anything
it
work?
Well, positive thinking. I think positively about being short. I think it's okay to be short. Lots of famous people were short, like Napoleon, you know? And so I stopped reaching for the stars, and I started reaching for the dirt.
Okay, good. Okay, I think you've got kind of like the idea of possibilities. As I said earlier, for those people that are interested, throughout this next week, I'm going to be doing more improv exercises and exploring things. If you want to come and watch, you can do that. If you want to come and participate, I'd love to have you come and participate. And we're going to learn how to shape those improvisations a little bit more. We're also going to be working, there are several other workshops that are happening next week with stories. And we're going to do some turning stories into plays through improvisation. I plan to do a session on, we're going to take the Bible story of Jonah and the whale, and we're going to stage it within an hour with people's ideas based on improvisation. We're going to hopefully take some stories that are going to be generated next week and turn them into stories as well. Thank you all. Yeah, I'm going to try to have it. I've got a few more hours. Probably 6:50.
Well, I guess I'm trying to change it.
Is that best for staff? Yeah.
No, I just so I'm really